Okay, first of all, it's always very, very special to be here and to be in the Kopel Bayis and to share Torah and to share Chizuk and Zairus. And Amir Tashem, it should be a big schus for Danielle and her entire family. Amir Tashem, all the Torah and all the Chizuk, and for each and every one of us, the MS is that needs the Chizuk. We all need the Chizuk. But just give Akar Satov and Bez Hashem. Bez Hashem, we should all walk out very different people than we walked in tonight. And we just started the month of Cheshvan. And if we're present in Shul on Shabbos, and even if we weren't, we're well aware that Cheshvan is not just the month of Cheshvan, but has a title, like a few other months, not many, Mar Cheshvan. Mar Cheshvan means it's a bitter month. An obvious reason why we call it Mar Cheshvan is because the month of Cheshvan is lacking any Yomim Tovim. And specifically contrasted to the month of Tishrei that we just had the schus to celebrate and to go through all the Yomim Tovim of Tishrei. Excuse me. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkis, Shmini Atzeres, Hashanah Rabbah, Simchas Torah. And then to go from a month full of Yontiv to a month lacking, void of all Yom Tovim, is mar, is bitter. It's a little bit sad for each and every one of us. It's a little bit more of a difficult time. You know, on a personal level, I already felt this a little bit. We were just reminiscing in the kitchen. We were together at the Schus to be in Eretz Yisrael of Yom Kippur, together with Danielle and her Mishpacha. They had the Schus to stay there for Sukkis, or most of Sukkis. I left Matzah Yom Kippur. I was there just for Yom Kippur. And it's always so difficult to have the schus to be in Eretz Yisrael on the holiest of days and then to get on a plane and to come back to Chutz Laaretz, walking around the streets of Yerushalayim, walking around the streets of Old City, watching everybody after Yom Kippur as the minog is, Pialach even, to build our sukkah on Matzah Yom Kippur. And I'm watching the sukkahs being built. I go into Beis Sharon for a few minutes, watch buying Luluv and Esrog, and I'm getting on a flight to come back to Chutz Laaretz. It's a little bit depressing. It's a little bit what we feel now, entering into the month of Cheshvan, each and every one of us, or we should feel. It was a little bit hard leaving Yontiv. It was interesting, we'll get back to explain this. Some might have heard this already, I've spoken about this in different ways, but Matzah Yom Kippur, so my minog has become, after davening, I have the schus to daven yeshiva in Tivariyeh, literally steps from the kaisel, Yom Kippur. And Matzah Yom Kippur, before I leave back to Chutz Laaretz to be with my mishpacha for Sukkot, so every year, after davening, after Ma'ariv, after Avdallah, taking a drink, a little something to eat, I go to the kaisel, and at the kaisel, I say Kiddush Levana, which is the minog, to say Kiddush Levana right after Yom Kippur, and daven, and say my goodbyes to the Makom HaMikdash for that particular trip. I spend time in Tefillah, spend time in a little bit of Hispaidus at the Kaisel Maravi before I'm going to get on a plane. And this year, something incredible happened. I'm standing by the Kaisel, I'm there, davening, and there's very few people there. Most people already left. Yom Kippur was over a long time ago already. And they're already starting to clean up the Kaisel Plaza. And I look down, and I couldn't believe my eyes, MS, I can't make this up, on the ground at the Kaisel, in the plaza, I see a dreidel. It was a wooden, a nice size, not like the tiny little plastic ones like that are 10 cents, you know, like a nice size wooden green dreidel. And I pick up the dreidel, and I couldn't believe my eyes because it was also not just a dreidel, it was a chutzlart sticker dreidel. Neis gadol haya sham. With a shin, we know in Eretz Yisrael, it's neis gadol haya po. So I knew the Rabbeinu Shalom is trying to send me some message. What are the chances? It's Matzah Yom Kippur. Who's playing with a dreidel? Who has a dreidel at the Kaisel? Why is there a dreidel on the floor? What's going on? So first I start to cheshbim, what's going to be with this dreidel? Do I have to try to find its owner, figure it out? Am I allowed to take it? This dreidel, whoever his dreidel was completely misyayish for sure. There's no way they're ever going to get it back. They're going to clean up the kaisel. It's going to be in the garbage. So if it's somebody's dreidel,
then I figured Bistama that it's okay, I don't have to take care of that. But the emes is, I really believe, wasn't anyone's dreidel, and the matana from the Rabban Shalom to give me chizik. Now, what was the chizik? And I have this dreidel, you should know. You see, like, I don't know, this is not my break front, but in my break front, in my house, in my dining room, along with all the silver, and my kais, my becher, and my menorah, and everything else, is this dreidel sitting there, if you came over to my house right now. So what's that all about? What was the chizik of the dreidel? So we'll have to explain. I'm going to have to decide and understand tonight what the chizik it could be for each and every one of us in a month of Cheshvan, after a whole entire month of beautiful Yom Tovim, to walk into a month of Mar Cheshvan. The emes is, I think some of us feel this often, this contrast, and in life, it doesn't have to be just in Cheshvan, just living in Chutzlar, it's living our daily lives. A lot of us think back to times when we had consistent excitement in Ruchnius, consistent excitement in our spiritual lives, back when we had the schluss to be in Eretz Yisrael, to be in seminary in Eretz Yisrael. We had this constantly every day, a different excitement, a different ischachus, working on myself, growing. Now I'm back in Chutz L'Arts, where the land itself is mundane, the land is not as special, and that's MS. And I have a chrayas, I have responsibilities that are not on the same spiritual endeavors that I was involved when I was in Eretz Yisrael necessarily. And some of us start to feel like my whole life is one big cheshvin. It's like that time in my life, that was yontiv. And now I'm just living cheshvin. Void of ruchnias, void of kedusha, void of excitement. So how could we turn around whatever mar we perceive, whether it's in cheshvin or in our lives, into rum, into a lofty state of closeness to Hashem? Because if you look at the word mar, mem resh, which is bitter, when you flip it around, and v'nepachu, you turn it around, it's resh mem, rum. Rum is very lofty, rum is very, very high up. B'kdusha v'tara. So you know, we always have to live with the parsha. Lubavitcher Rebbe, that's how taught us this, and there's no question that every parsha is where it's at, to give us chizik, to give us inspiration, to give us whatever we need at that point in our life. And really, Bereishis was still so connected to the Yom Tovim. Bereishis was still a few days right after Yontif. We were still feeling it, and we're still in the month of Tishrei. The first parsha of Cheshvan is Parshas Noach. Excuse me. So Parshas Noach is there. On some level, something, there's supposed to be some chizik from this parsha. Something that we could look into to teach us how to turn around the mar of our lives to rum. How to be mechazik ourselves and live a life of kedusha, a life of tahara, a life of yontiv, of kirvas elokiv, of closeness to Hashem. Now when you look at the storyline on the surface, it's a little bit difficult. Really, the story of Noach, the story of the Mabel, the story of just complete destruction. It's the world that was void of holiness, void of any spirituality. And the world is completely destroyed. Okay, Shkoyach, Noach and his family is saved. Doesn't seem like a parsha full of chizik, really. It's a pretty depressing parsha. Pretty difficult parsha. This is the parsha that's going to give us chizik and cheshvin. It seems like it's a parsha that fits into the normal feelings of cheshvin, of being mar. Shkoyach, so let's start with the Noach, so we feel more depressed. So let's analyze one part of the story. It's a strange part. A strange scene that happens really at the end of the Mabel, after Noach comes out of the ark, after Noach comes out of the Teva together with his family. So I'll read you the Pesukim. In Perek Tes Pasuk Chof, Vayochel Noach Isha Adama V'yita Karim. Noach comes out and he basically plants a vineyard. It's a little bit strange. Telling about this individual, Noach, who at the beginning of the parasha, Eila told Noach, Ish tzaddik, tamim haya b'dorosav, this big tzaddik who saves the world. And at the end of the parasha, we're reading about him planting a vineyard and getting drunk. And maybe this chazal that says it, but I've never seen one, so at least Lania's daiti, it wasn't Purim. And when he gets drunk, vayizkal b'toch alo, he takes off his clothing, and he's found in his, without any clothing, completely nude in his tent. We don't want to be imagining the scene, but understand what's going on. It's very strange. I'm just reading your Torah. And what happens then? Vayar Chom, and Chom, his son, comes. Avi Knan, the father of Knan. We know, obviously, this is not the greatest of people. And he sees this Erevas Aviv, he sees his father in this state. Now the Pasukim inside don't tell us what happens, but, and it's Machlok is exactly what happens, but Chom does terrible things with Noach. Chom defiles Noach in a terrible way, defiles his father at this point in a terrible way. And therefore he ends up being cursed. Then come along, Baruch Shem, the other two sons of Noach, Vayikach, and Vayaged L'Shneach B'chutz, Chom tells his brothers, Vayikach Shem V'yafes Es Asimla V'yasima Ashchem Shneam. So Shem and Yafes, they come, and they take some sort of similar, some piece of article of clothing, and they put it on their shoulders, and beautiful to listen to what they do, the kavod they had for their father. Vayelchu Acharonis. They walk backwards. Imagine the amazing kavod. They walk backwards, so they shouldn't see their father in this state. They walk backwards, holding this article of clothing, this similar whatever, in between them. Vayechasu es erevav avim, and they cover up their father. Upneim acharonis ve'erevav avim lo rahu, and they kept themselves backwards the entire time, so they should never see their father in such a state. And eventually the psukim go on. Vayikat Noach be'eino. Noach woke up from his drunken stupor. Vayedes asher asalo b'noach katan. He knew. He figured out what Chum did to him, which we understand. Vayomer Arur Knan Eved Avadim Yela Achiv, and he cursed Chum that he should be a slave to his brothers, and then he blesses Shem and Yafes. Vayomer Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem, blesses the God of Shem. Vehi Knan Eved Lamon Eved, and Knan should be his servant. Yaftel Lukim LeYafes. Yafes should be very beautiful and wonderful. Vayishkom Bali Shem, and to dwell in the tent of Shem. Be Knan Eved Lamon, and also Knan should be a servant to him. You read this story, it's a little bit of a difficult story to understand within Noach. But I don't want to focus on that. Let's focus on his children. So Chum is terrible. Chum's a racha. Chum's cursed. And Chum, that's all good, right? So Shem and Yafes. Shem and Yafes were good guys. Shem and Yafes were beautiful children. Were beautiful people. Seem like tzaddikim, right? Tremendous kavod for their father. They go and they don't only take care of him in that state and they cover him, but more than that, they do it in the most tzniest of ways, right? In the most modest of ways, they go and they take care of their father. Beautiful, wonderful. And their father blesses both of them. Now what happens eventually to Shem and Chum? Who are these people? Who do they become? Looking down later in history, Shem is the father of each and every one of us. Shem becomes Klal Yisrael. Shem becomes the Am Nivcher, the chosen nation that's Mekabel Torah Misinai. Beautiful, wonderful. Okay, that makes sense. Good. Yafes, what about Yafes? You know who Yafes becomes later?
Greeks.
The Greeks. Yafes is the father of Yavon. You hear a connection to the dreidel already? Maybe, we'll get there. Right? Already in this parsha, which the next Yontif really coming our way, is Chanukah, but here we have already an illusion. We have Yafes, who becomes Yavon. What is Yavon? Yavon mamish ha'ra'ivim. Yavon defiles Beis HaMikdash, and Yavon persecutes us spiritually, physically, religiously. Baruch Hashem, we destroy Yavon. We destroy them. But we have to ask ourselves. It doesn't make any sense. It seems to be, I read you the Psukim. Can anyone tell me here anything that sounded different between Shem and Yafes? It's Vayikru Shem Vayafes. Only Vayikach Shem Vayafes. Sorry, Vayikach, that's important. Vayikach Shem Vayafes. Shem Vayafes took the similar, and everything they did was together. They took care of their father, and they're both given brachas too. Yet Shem becomes Klal Yisrael, and Yafes becomes the Greeks. What gives? What happened? And this is their essence, by the way. Anytime you see the first storyline in the beginning, this is where the source is to their eventual future. What in this storyline can we find led them, shame to be the leader and to eventually become a Klal Yisrael. I'm Kadosh V'Noira, and Yefes to become a Yavon, the Greek nation of destruction. So Rashi already picks up that it doesn't say in the pasuk Vayikhu, they took the clothing. It says Vayikach Shem V'Yefes, in a singular state. So you could have said, maybe that's saying they did it together. That's probably what we thought when we read the Pesukim together. Rashi says, Enksiv Vayikhu, doesn't say Vayikhu, it's missing a Vav. Remember that, we'll get back to that, it's missing a Vav. Shame put more into the mitzvah somehow. Now again, in the Pesukim we didn't see this. But again, we do see the eventual outcome of who they are. And Rashi's pointing out that it's missing a vav, it's not in plural, as if to say, shame was the leader here. Shame did more than Yafes, but why? How? What does that mean? In what way? In what way did shame do more than Yafes? Because it's so important to understand. Because only if we understand what shame did more than Yafes, could we understand what leads to a future of bracha and kedusha and simcha, and what leads to a downfall of Yavan. And maybe that has to be a key to each and every one of our hatzlacha in life. Ezoiv de Hashem. Yeah, need more than this, I think. I don't know, but thank you. My wife says I need a doctor, but I don't have time, so eventually, Bez Hashem. So Svas comes along, the Svas Emes. The Svas Emes tells us something unbelievable. If you look at the Svas Emes in Chanukah, when the Svas Emes is talking about Klal Yisrael and Yavon, and the differences, he talks about Shem and Yafes. You know what he tells us? He tells us as follows. The difference in the way that they performed this mitzvah, which is the root of who they became, was that when Shem performed the mitzvah, when Shem took care of his father, when Shem clothed his father, Shem did it completely l'shema. He had all the right motives, he had all the right reasons, he did it because he loved his father, because it was the right thing to do, because all the proper reasons that he should be doing it. Yefes was lo l'shema. Yefes did it on an active level. And in the Pesukim, that's why it's not talking about any thoughts and any background and what they were thinking, bepnimius, in their insides. Bechitzonius, they did the same exact act. If you saw what they did it together. But in their machshavos, in their thoughts, Shem was completely shema, and Yefes was completely lo shema. What could it have been? He did it because maybe eventually he wanted the bracha from Noach. He wanted his father to think highly of him. He wanted the world to think highly of him. He wanted his brother to think highly of him. He wanted to look good in people's eyes. Whatever the reason might be, we could all come up with all different types of motives behind the act of Yefes. But it wasn't Lishma. That's the difference in their acts. In fact, the truth is, we could see that already in their names. You know, the name of a person is Mamish our essence. Mamish our mahus. Our name is something very special. A name is not something very... It's just not... Mirz Hashem, b'shatay v'slachas, everything you want to be zoicha. To name your children, be zoicha, to have beautiful children. B'shatay v'slachas, b'z Hashem. When you name your children, it's something... It's not just, you know, there was a name I liked my whole life, so let me just give that name. Not that there is nothing to that, by the way. You should very much find a certain chain in the names you give your children. You want names that you like. There's something to that. But there has to be also a depth. There has to be some reason behind it. And there should be, it's something, it's, and when you name the child, when your husbands will name the child in shul, whether by a bris milah or whether by an aliyah, it has to be done with machshavos of tahara. It should be done realizing, recognizing that moment you're having ruach hakodesh, mamish ruach hakodesh. You're having siyata d'shmaya from the Rabboni Shalom with that name. You're naming together with the Rabboni Shalom. A name is something very special. There's a story I always think of when to understand the ruach hakodesh of a name. So there was a couple in Eretz Yisrael a few years ago. This goes back a bunch of years ago. They were married for many years, unfortunately without any children. A chiloni couple they weren't from. And for years, but they would daven, they go for brachas, to no avail. The husband made some business connection with some dati chassid, and it was adar time, and the chassid said he was going for the yortzeit of the Noyam Elimelech. The Noyam Elimelech. Stuff to learn, Bez Hashem. I'm waiting. The Noyam Elimelech. The descendant of the Noyam Elimelech. The Noyam Elimelech. The Rebbe of Melech Milijensk. The yortzeit, Chaf Aleph Adar. Come with me, you'll see. People go to the Rebbe of Melech on his yortzeit and daven by the yortzeit, and there's just incredible, unbelievable yeshuos and refuos, and you come, you'll see you have tremendous hatzlach. You see, Bez Hashem, you have a child. He's thinking, this is a chiloni, he's not even from, but he says, you know what, we've been trying so many years, he talks to his wife, they say, why not? And they go, and they daven, and they're there in Poland. And Kachave, maybe a month later, they find out his wife's pregnant. And they're so excited, they couldn't believe it. Mamish. Tefillos were Makayim. So they're discussing. Then they found out, but they knew they were having a boy. They're getting closer and closer, they start discussing names. So this chassid who knew about this, who convinced this guy to come with him, and he says, listen. He said to his friend, to the father, to the husband, the future father, he says, the Zchusim was the Helig Noyam Elimelech. You have to name it after Noyam Elimelech. You have to name your child after Noyam Elimelech. And this man was totally Makabal, but he goes to his wife. His wife is some Achiloni woman that were Elimelech. Are you kidding me? She wanted some very, you know, modern Israeli name, Echvestish, whatever it is. Something she liked, how it sounds. No chuz in it. I don't know, Echvestish, you know, Elimelech. No, they're arguing, they get into an argument. Finally, the husband says to the wife, at least let's give the middle name Elimelech. At least the middle name Elimelech. So the wife says, you know what? Okay, you want to give the middle name Elimelech? I'm not going to call him that. No one's going to call him that. Okay, we'll give a middle name Elimelech. If that makes you happy, we'll give a middle name Elimelech. Good, okay. Getting closer to the bris. What's going to be the first name? They're going back and forth and fine. Finally, the wife says, I love the particular name. She came up with a name. She loved it. Beautiful meaning, a beautiful name. She loved it. Fine. Get to the bris mila. It's time to name the baby. And they kare shmo b'Yisrael to name the baby. And they turn to the father to name the baby. He says, I want the baby to be Noyam Elimelech. Now, this wife and the husband himself had no idea that the Rav Melech Milijensk, the name of his sefer, is the Noam Elimelech. And she went, and she loved this name, Noam. She loved Noam. Noam is pleasant, it's beautiful. She liked the name Noam. She wanted to name him Noam. So the name of this baby is Noam Elimelech. You can try to say that Ruach HaKodesh isn't present by a naming. So a name, a name carries within us our essence. Within our name are our kochos, our abilities. If we really, truly understood our names, there are various mukubalim and tzaddikim I've gone to. When I've gone to them for eights in my life, they've told me often that to make sure to call my children by all their Hebrew names because it brings out kochos. It doesn't mean always, but... So let's look at the names of Shem v'Yafes. We just said, Lefidus v'Asemes, Lefidus v'Heiliga Gerebba, that what? The difference between Shem v'Yafes was Shem was full of lishma, all the proper reasons, with no ulterior motives. Yefes was lo lishma, was all the wrong reasons. And therefore their histories are destined for complete differences. And Shem becomes Klal Yisrael and Yefes becomes a destroyed Yavon. Let's look at their names. Shem, which is the root of lishma. You already see it in his name. Shem is lishma. And what does Yefes mean? Yefes is beauty. Beauty, but it's physical beauty. Physical beauty is all just a facade. It's all on the outside. Liafot. To make it beauty. Okay, beautiful. On the outside. Who knows what's going on inside? Nobody knows. So that's the difference of Shem v'Yefes. And therefore, when you have a Shem and everything's lishma, and everything's done for the right reasons, so then we end up in Kedush of Tara. And we're full of chizik, and we're full of ruchnis. And when we do things lo aleinu shelo lishma like a yefes, we end up with destruction. And the emes is, I believe deeply, in this week, Parshas Noach, the opening parsha of Cheshvan, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is teaching each and every one of us the same. Why is it, lo aleinu, that some of us in life sometimes have our lows in our Avodat Hashem, and we're not fully alive and passionate in the ways that we are when there's an excitement of a yantiv like we just had, and comes Cheshvan and we're a little bit down, and comes times when I'm not zoicha to be in the most conducive environment of Kedusha, and I'm a little bit down, and I find myself suddenly not doing what I used to do, not serving God the way I used to. I used to daven with so much more kavana. I used to dress a lot more tzniyas. I used to be involved with so much more chesed. And so many things, I look at my life, so much has slipped, so much has gone lower, so much. I'm not that same person. We have to analyze, because are we serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu lishma, or is it shalom lishma? Because if it's lishma, there's going to be a nitzchias to it. It's going to be consistent. It's going to be there always, no matter what the situation, because I'm not doing it based on a place, or I'm not doing it based on a time. I'm doing it because it's emes, because it's ratzon Hashem. I daven with kavana because I want to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I want to serve Him. Not because I'm in a sviv, I'm in an atmosphere where everyone's doing it, so I'm going to do it also, and it feels good to do it in that situation. And not because I'm looking at how people are looking at me at all. So if I'm doing it lishma, does it matter where I am? Does it matter the time period that I'm doing it? I'm doing it because it's ratzon Hashem. But if I'm doing it just because it's rote, or I'm doing it because of my environment, I'm doing it because of a particular time that I've inspired, is that really lishma? Is the panemius really there, or is it based on exterior factors? And not always, I don't mean even negative exterior factors. Doesn't mean, chas v'shalom, to say it's negative exterior factors. But if there are exterior factors involved, then why I'm serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, once those are gone, so my avodah is gone. But if it's lishma, means I'm doing it for the sake of Hashem, I'm doing it because it's ratzon Hashem, and I understand that, it means toichoi kubaro. I understand that in my action, I understand that on my inside. That was shame. It was inside and outside, it was all one. Yefes, on the outside, it looked beautiful, but inside there was nothing there. So eventually that's going to fade. Eventually, it's not going to continue. Let's be real. Look at people. Physical beauty stays forever. Physical beauty fades over time. Physical beauty fades over time. Don't get me wrong. We might say and believe, and we do believe, and it's true, because we're able to be emistic people and see through to the panemius. But when we see older people, and we say they look beautiful to us, and they do, it's because we see their inside and we see their panemius. Does really an 80-year-old woman as beautiful as she was when she was 25 and 30? I'm not saying we don't mean it when we say it, when we see our grandparents and whoever it might be, we mean it. But it's because we see their panemius. But the panemius, someone who's panemius, it doesn't fade, it gets even more beautiful with time. It's so much more chashiv with time. Because that's the lishma, that's what lishma means. Lishma means my actions and my insides are one. Then nothing fades. But when it's for ulterior motives or other things, it's meaningless. It's out the window. It's not going to stick with me. Am I serving the Rabbeinu Shalom, or am I serving myself ultimately? That's really what it comes down to. How real are we in our Avodas Hashem? That's the difference in shame and yafes. They're both doing. But the one who's doing it for real, the one who's doing it lishma, it's going to stay. It's going to be a Klal Yisrael. The one who's doing it for now, for whatever reason, you end up becoming a Yavan. It's beautiful on the outside. It's all going to fade. There was a woman, once upon a time, there was a woman, and the woman would constantly come to the Rav Soloveitchik, Zatzal, and want and ask him if she's able to put on a talus. She wanted to wear a talus. And he kept on pushing her off, but she kept on coming back. She kept on asking him. So eventually he says, you know what? First try this. I want to see what you feel. Go wear a talus for 1 month, but without the tzitzis at the end. Just the four-cornered baguette. A woman could do that because a woman's not obligated to this, right? You're not doing anything wrong. Wear a talus without the strings. Tell me what you feel. Come back in a month. You could wear it. She was excited. Oh, I could wear a talus. And she goes for a month, and she wears a ta'at. I don't know, chveis that she wore it when she was davening. She wore it all day. I don't know what she did. You know, who knows? She was by the women of the wall, maybe, all day. She was the first of the women of the wall, maybe. She was the grandmother of the women of the wall. I don't know. Whatever it was, she's wearing her talis. Every day she's wearing her talis. She wakes up. She's excited about her talis. Maybe she got one of these multicolored, you know, Joseph talis. I don't know, chveis this. But she's wearing her talis. After a month, she comes back to the Rav Soloveitchik. And the Rav asked her, tell me, Lameisa, how do you feel? How do you feel? He said, I want to tell you, it was mamish, the most amazing, wonderful spiritual experience. I loved every single moment of it. It was amazing. So what does he say back? You know, what you were wearing was nothing. On a halachic level, it was nothing. It was a beged. If there's no tzitzis out, it's nothing. And since there's no tzitzis, it's clear to me, I understand that I know that whatever's going on in your head and whatever you want has nothing to do with Torah mitzvahs. And it's just to make yourself feel good, basically. I don't know the exact words he used, but Hameven Yavin, you understand. Meaning that was all. Shalom l'shma. If she was so excited to wear four corner, what's a four corner beged without tzitzis? It's nothing. On a halachic level, it's nothing baruchness, there's no spirituality to it. If she was feeling all that, okay, so she could feel her high. Also, if he tells her, every day, juggle some balls, and that's how you get close to God. Shkoyach! What does that mean? It means nothing. That's you're doing it for yourself, you're not doing it for the Rebbe in Shalom, you're not doing it for the Eibishter. So that's always going to fade eventually. It's there for one moment, you're excited, shkoyach, and then it's gone. Like all spiritual highs, which are important for chizik, and important. But true avodas Hashem is constant lishma. It's tocho kabaro. My inside and my outside. And I'm serving the Ribbono Shel Olam because it's emes and because I want to. That never fades. It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter when I am. It doesn't matter if I'm Tishrei or I'm a Cheshvin. It doesn't matter if I'm zoicha to be Yom Kippur, like I had this chus to be in the Ila steps from Kodesh Kodashim, or if it's a Monday afternoon mincha in the Chvestish in Woodmere. It doesn't matter. I'm serving, I'm davening my Shemoneh because Hashem won't be in davening. I want to connect to Hashem right now. Then that doesn't fade. And then I'm excited about that on my Monday afternoon in Woodmere. Maybe as much so as my Ni'ilah on Yom Kippur. That's a shame, the Kayyid. If we're like Yavon, so then yeah, Cheshvin's very mar. If we're like Yavon, and it's all for the show, and it's all for the excitement, it's all for the exterior, then Cheshvin could be very, very mar. You know, the MS is that we pointed out in Rashi that Rashi already saw a difference between Shem and Yefes in the missing vav from Vayikach. It says Vayikach and not Vayikchu, that he took, meaning only Shem was the Iker, but not both of them together. So the missing letter that keys us in on the difference in Shem and Yefes is a vav. In the Zohar, in Parshas Vayikra, it refers to the Vav as a letter of Kushtav, of truth, of Emes. Vav is the letter of truth. Why is Vav the letter of truth? So simple, most people understand Vav being the letter of truth because it's straight. Truth is yashrus, is straight. Sheker is crooked. That's how most people understand, right? Vav is straight, it's truth. But you know what else is the truth perhaps within Vav? And maybe that's what's alluding to here in this Rashi. Every letter, I'll tell you something a little deep, we've spoken about this before, so we should understand this already, but every letter has a letter, and it's miloy. It's chitzonius and it's pnimios. What does it mean? So just to remind those of us who need a little chazara, aleph is aleph. And if you see an aleph, how we write an aleph, whatever it is, but aleph has its exterior, but it also has pnimios. What's its pnimios? Lamed pei. Meaning, because if you say out Aleph, it's really Aleph Lamed Pei, right? Beis is really Beis Yud Tuf. Gimel is Gimel Mem Lamed. So the letter we write when we say Gimel is the Gimel, but there's also the Miloy, the filler of the letter, which is Mem Lamed. Right? We all understand? So you take Vav. How do you say Vav? What's the Miloy of Vav? Two Vavs. Toichoy Kbaro. Its exterior and its panemius is one. It's outside and it's inside is one in the same. Das is MS. That's true. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see from us. He wants to see that our avoda, how we're serving Him, is the same as what's going on in our heart, and in our mind, and in our thoughts. Then it's going to be emes. It's all one. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants more than anything from us, just to be truthful, to be real, to be who we are on the inside and the outside as one. Chasimasol shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu zui emes, the Gemara says. The signature of God is truth. The signature represents a person. I don't know, you guys are probably not big sports fans, but if you were a big sports fan, okay, maybe some of you, if you were a big sports fan, you're very excited to go get, to when you meet a player, but you don't want to just meet a player, you want to get their signature. You want to get their signature. I'm sure, even if you're not, but your brothers or wherever it might be, you have signatures. My son, his whole entire room is signatures. Okay, one wall is Gedoyel and Baruch Hashem at least. But most of it is signatures. Of all different players and all different places, Derek Jeter and this one, that one, Carmelo Anthony, all the players and signatures. What signature? Shkoyach a signature. Who cares? He signed his name. No. Obviously, the name represents the essence of the being in a way. The name is who he is, as we just explained. You writing your name is you connecting to your essence, as we explained earlier. So what's that? Chasimasol shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the signature of God is emes. That means his essence is truth. So what do you think he wants to see within us? Truth. He wants to see that vav. He wants to see tocho kabarov. He wants to see us be on the outside and inside the same. Vayikchu, missing a vav. Only shame took, because they didn't both have that tocho gabaro. The vav is missing, because that's what was missing from Yafes. And then you end up dwindling and fading and ending up in a place where we're not so excited about our avodas Hashem. The MS is, just to share, and this maybe we're not going to fully understand, but just amazing to hear it, that Arizal says, the four galios, the four exiles, are connected to the four letters of Shem Havaya. God's name is Yud Hey, Vav Hey, right? And whenever there's galus, it's a little bit of a hidden nature of the Ribbono Shalom. And each galus is connected to one of those letters to hide him. What are the four galus? Bavel, Madai, Yavon, and Edom. Bavel is connected to Yud. It's taking away a little bit of the Yud. Madai is the Hey. Yavon, the Greeks, was connected to what? Vav. Yavon was connected to the Vav. Took away the Vav. Because Yafes says the Vav doesn't exist. We're beautiful, we're gorgeous. It's all on the exterior. There's nothing inside. That's what all Greek philosophy was all about. It's all what Hellenism was all about. This exterior beauty with emptiness on the inside. Which is all one big facade. It's all fake. Of course it's going to fade over time. We want to be emistic. And if we're emistic in our avodas Hashem, it's real to us. It's real to us. It's never going to fade. So, but then you say something. You say, but Rabbi, but Rebbe. How do I build the desire to have the Lishma? That's shkoyach, if I have it, if I'm ashamed to kiyid, if I'm inside, of course, I'm going to be like, but unfortunately I don't have that on my panemis. I want it, I have a, Baruch Hashem, at least we want it, but obviously maybe I'm lacking that. Maybe I don't have that if that's not what I'm feeling. So I'll tell you something amazing. A Torah I saw this week in the Shvile Pinchas, or Pinchas Friedman. He says that there's a Gemara in Pesachim that says the oilam yasuk adam betorah mitzvos. We should always be involved with Torah mitzvos. Afal pi shelo lishma shemitoch shelo lishma bal lishma. If I do it shelo lishma, it will become lishma. That would be a question on everything we just said. We just threw Yefes out the window because we said they're not lishma. But this Gemara says if you do shelo lishma, you'll come to be lishma. So what does that mean? What's going on? So we have to understand in the light of another Gemara. There's a Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara there says, I'll just paraphrase it outside, not for the sake of time. And it says that when the Umos Ha'olam, when the other nations are involved in Tzedakah and Chesed, it's all Chatoim, it's all Sheker, it's all sins. Because they're not involved in it for the right reasons, they're not Lishma. They all just want their own greatness. They all just want their names on buildings. They all want favors in return. They're not doing it for any emestic reason, it's all for a show. Shelo Lishma. So the Gemara then asks, but we see so too when by a yid, if a Jew gives tzedakah and he gives tzedakah in order that what your son who's sick should have a refuah, that's okay. That's okay. You're allowed to do that. So why are we saying by the goyim when they do something shelo lishma it's bad, when a Jew does it, it's good? The Gemara just says, kan b'Yisrael kan b'vichavim. It's a different set of rules for Jews and non-Jews. Why? So listen to this. What is it? Listen to Rashi. Rashi says that when a Jew saws something shelo lishma, he might have some level of ulterior motives. But for example, he says when the Jew gives tzedakah on the condition that he wants that his son should be healed, and his son doesn't get healed, he's still happy and does it for the Rabbi Nishalom. There's an underlying theme that is still emes. When a non-Jew and the Umas Ha'olam do something that's chesed for ulterior motives, it's completely for the ulterior motives. Meaning what? You know what Rashi's telling us? And listen to the point now. And that is, by us, by Yidden, even when we're doing something in Shalol Shema, there's some silver lining in the cloud that is full of lishma. And maybe that's what the line means that we read you before. We should do mitzvahs and Torah and never stop, even if we have some sort of ulterior motive, and even if it's not completely for God, and even if our inside is not there yet. Because deeper down underneath the lishma, there comes lishma. Lishma is really there as well. Meaning what? Even if we don't know it, we have it, and we have to dig down deeper and recognize that each and every one of us wants to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each and every one of us has the Ratzon. Each and every one of us is an MS stick yet. We're not feeling it, so dig down deeper. It's there. It's MS. We want to do what God wants from us. We want to do Ratzon Hashem. We really all do have it within us. And if we're not feeling it, we're not sensing it, it's because we're just not digging down deep enough. We have it within us. B'fichu b'vavcha lasoso. We have to believe that. And when we dig down deeper, and we do it lishma, and we're MS stick in our avodas Hashem, There's no question that it's going to be always there, and it's going to be a fire that's always lit. And we're not going to feel any mara of cheshvan. We're not going to feel any bitterness of leaving the Yom Tovim, because it's all the same. It's all just serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we have to understand. It's all one and the same. I'm always with HaKadosh Baruch Hu every moment, wherever I am, every moment of life. And I'm serving Him, lishma. And then I'm not depressed when I left Yom Tovim, because now it's my avodah to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way. And that's just as important. And I'm not depressed because I'm in Chutz La'aretz right now and have responsibilities of my college classes, my graduate classes, or my work that I'm already doing, which I'm not always so excited about. It's part of my avodah Hashem. And to continue within that, to daven with Kavana, and to be involved in Chesed, because I'm a Lishma Dekeir, I'm a Shem Dekeir. And when we have that, we always could be connected to the Rabbanu Shlomo in the deepest of ways. Just a little bit of Eitzah and how to work on this a little bit, to bring it a little, bring the Lo Lishma, pull the Lishma out of the Lo Lishma. It's important we have to start being more real. We have to stop caring about what everybody else in the world thinks and everybody else is looking at us. Because that's when we put on shows and it's hard to be real in our voice Hashem, when we're not real in other areas of our life. And we have to start doing Cheshbon HaNefesh when we're alone, and start thinking about our lives, and who we are, and who we want to be, and what our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Think, not just daven and do the mitzvahs that we're supposed to be doing, but do we take time for a little bit introspection of thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my life? B'pnimius, so that I pull the pnimius out a little bit more. I'll tell you something else, try to be involved in Torah mitzvahs b'nister. Not just because it's such an important way. Just make sure it's real. When you daven, you don't have to only daven in front of other people. Daven when no one else is watching you. No one else but the Eibishter. Then you know it's real. You know it's just for you and him. There could be no ulterior motives at that time. Do chasadim when nobody else is watching and nobody else knows about it. Then you know it's real. And then you pull that meat out of you and you exercise being real in that way. And then when we're emistic, we're lishma, there's going to be an etzchis to it. There's going to be a continuity to it. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter when we are. I think MS. Well, there's a lot of different... I've shared this story in different shiurim and given different answers, because the MSs are all Eluvil Dibrim Chaim. Because that story, when I was Matzah Yom Kippur at the Kosel Ma'aravi, and the Rabbonu Shlom gave me that matano of a dreidel, which I'm telling you right now is in my break front in my house, and I believe neder hope to keep it forever as chizik for myself. Maybe we'll take it out on Hanukkah and play with it a little bit. Hope there's no little kid crying still today with that. I don't know. But L'maisa, It could be this was the chizuk the Rabbeinu Shalom meant to be giving me. I'm standing by Kosel Maravi crying Matzei Yom Kippur that I have to go back to Chutz Laaretz, leave Eretz Yisrael, leave my homeland, leave the place where I feel most connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends me back a dreidel. As if to say, get Yavon away. What's the dreidel represents? The dreidel represents it's the story of Hanukkah. Defeat Yavon. Get Yavon out of my life. Be ashamed, Akayir. Get rid of that Greek philosophy. Greek philosophy, it has to be so beautiful and so exciting and so much on the exterior. It doesn't have to be. It could be also in Chutz Laaretz, and it could be also on a mundane day, and it could be also, it's all Ratzon Hashem, Gam Keich V'Yetzimot L'Riyah Ki Ati Imad, Hashem's by my side everywhere. Don't forget that. With that chizik, there's no Mar Cheshvan, it's Ram Cheshvan. With that chizik, it doesn't matter where I am, I'm one with Hashem. It's not to say, don't chas v'shalom walk away from here. Oh, Rabbi Cohen thinks there's nothing special about Eretz Yisrael. Everybody in this room knows me for 1 minute, knows that I every day of my life, all I do is think about living in Eretz Yisrael, and can't wait to one day be living in Eretz Yisrael, even though I don't think it's what Rabbeinu Shalom wants for me right now. And I'll be back in Eretz Yisrael in 3 weeks, Bez Hashem, Parshas Chayei Sarah, be back again, whatever. Baruch Hashem, the Rabbeinu Shalom brings me in my heart, my libi b'mizrach every moment. And Vad, to say, oh, you can walk away, Rabbi Cohen doesn't think Yontif so special anymore. Anyone knows me for 1 minute knows I live with Yontif from one Yontif to the next. And it's not that. Those are all important. Those are great chizik. That's even more panemistic. If you understand this. It's not the beauty of the chitonius of the Yontif. If you really understand this. But you start living with the bonus from every moment. It's not depressing not being there. Of course you're excited for it and it's special. But even when it's not, so then you make the most in the Ratzon Hashem of that day. That's the Avrida. That's what each and every one of us has to understand. Let me just end by reading you something. I feel like there was a time I read this once before, but this could be read over and over, Chazara. And it's everything we're speaking about tonight. It's the words of Reb Shlomo Karbach. It's in a book, Lamed Vav. I've gone through this book many times, but not for years, and we started packing up the house. We're moving in a few weeks, Bezal Hashem, just a few blocks away. So my wife made me start packing up the Sfarim. She says, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael for a few days, I'm not going to be around, I got to start now, so I have to listen to her, whatever she tells me. I always have to listen to her, but that's... So I found this book again, I haven't seen it in a while. So I want to read you one page from this book. It's in the words of Reb Shlomo, it was written not by him, but it's his Torah, what he said. You have to know how Reb Shlomo spoke. To understand, to really get, but you all get it. He says as follows. It's not easy to be an emissary yid, a real Jew. It's one thing to be like everybody else, an apple among apples, a bagel among bagels, but to mamish be real, to be a Jew on the deepest inside level, that's another thing altogether. Look at the world we're living in. The world says, whatever you do, don't be real. When it's the right thing, put on a smile. Or if it will be pleasing, bring tears to your eyes. Say hello or invite somebody to party, but only out of good manners. Don't really mean it. And never let anybody see that you're broken or mamish full of joy. Let your wedding be as somber as a funeral and a funeral as festive as a wedding. Because above all, you should never open to anyone the deepest depth of your heart. And it's the same thing when it comes to Yiddishkeit. You know, some people go around saying, Baruch Hashem, thank God, all the time. No matter what question they're asked, the answer is always, Baruch Hashem. Maybe somebody's sick as a dog, a friend notices and says, hey brother, you don't look so good, how are you feeling? The first person answers, Baruch Hashem. Or you see somebody's eyes are red and swollen, clear he or she has been crying, and you ask, are you alright? What will be the reply? Blessed is God, Baruch Hashem. Now sometimes saying Baruch Hashem means you're really on a very high level. You see God's hand in everything that happens to you and you accept it with His will with love. But sometimes people say blessed is God one too many times. It sounds a little bit suspicious. Sounds like maybe they're hiding what's really going inside them, behind the mask of faith in God. But the truth is, the master world doesn't need us to say thank you all the time. He doesn't need us to hide our pain or our joy. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam actually want from us? He wants us to be real. This is one of the deepest teachings of the Holy Rav Menachem Mendel Kotzk. We all know it's important to do mitzvos, to fulfill God's commandments. But for Kotzker Chassidim, there's a deeper question. Where's your service of God coming from? Are you keeping His law out of habit, or are you doing mitzvos with all your heart? You see what it is? Sometimes the most important thing is not how much good or bad you do, but how much light lies hidden in your deepest depth. What is permanent inside you? If the inside of your inside is mamish shining, then maybe you can open the gates for God's light to fill the whole world. Maybe you could help bring the Mashiach. But you have to be connected from the inside. Because everything we do has to flow from the very core of our beings. So in Katz, nobody would ask you what kind of Jew you are, how much Torah you know, or how many laws you keep. Katz Kar Chassidim only wants to know one thing. Are your actions coming from the soul of your soul? From that place deep inside all of us that only knows the deepest truth? The holiest reality? In other words, they would ask, are you for real? Are you a real Jew? Bez Hashem, we should be zoich each and every one of us to follow in the footsteps of our ancestors, Shem, to live a life of Lishma, to live a life of Toichoi Kubaro, that on our outsides we're who we are on the insides, we're one and the same. Be zoich to show the Rabbon Hashem and show ourselves how in love we are with Him, and it doesn't matter what's going on, it sees beyond time and beyond place. And that's Chus will be Zoicha. To only sweetness, no mar, no bitterness, only sweetness every moment of our lives. To only feel close to Hashem every moment. To have a life of simcha, a life of bracha. Mirz Hashem, a year only full of simcha and bracha for each and every one of us. We should have a heilige Shabbos Kodesh until we meet up again in Mirz Hashem.